Blog Talk Radio.
Made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory. And I have a question for you. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So it's good to be here on another session of Truth on Blog Talk Radio. And we thank God for that. It's of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, as was quoted by the prophet Jeremiah in Lamentations, the third chapter. So we thank God that we're here on another session of Truth on Blog Talk Radio. And we'd like to take this time to welcome all of our LinkedIn connections, to welcome all of our Twitter followers, all of our Facebook friends and followers, and also our Blog Talk friends and followers. We say it is good for us to be here. So we're just so grateful and so thankful to God that we're able to look into the perfect law of liberty. And we want you to know that there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So we've been going through this book of Ephesians, St. Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. So, and today we'll be concluding the letters to the church at Ephesus, his letter to the Ephesians. And so, as we've said on before, it was written from Rome in AD 64, and it is the first order of the prison epistles. And so you see Acts 20 and 27, 28 and 30, and you can get some information there, and was sent by Tychius concurrently with the Colossians and Philemon. It is probably that the two greater letters had been had their occasion in the return of Onesimus to Philemon. It's probable that the two greater Ephesians is the most impersonal of Paul's letters. Indeed, the words to the Ephesians are not in the best manuscripts. And so anyway, we go on here. The doctrine of the epistle confirms the view. It contains the highest church truth, but has nothing about order. So it's talking about the true church. The church here is the true church, his body, not the local church. So he's talking about the position, the believer's exalted position through grace, the truth concerning the body of Christ, and the walk in accordance with that position. So he's letting the believers know about their position in Christ. And just a little recap, and as I've said before, God gave John the revelation, he gave Peter the keys, and he gave Paul the mystery. So a lot of things that he's writing about. He's a very learned man. He knows the law. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. And there also are many things that are the mystery that was revealed to the Apostle Paul. He was the apostle to the Gentiles, or he is, and you know, during his life. So he is the last of the apostles. There are no apostles today. It's 12 foundations, 12 apostles of the Lamb. Their names are written in the 12 foundations in the book of the Revelation. So he's given instructions, letting the believers know how to walk. And so today we're going into the last chapter, which it's all important, but this is really important too. And he's letting us know what we're dealing with, that we are in spiritual warfare, and everyone doesn't understand that. And so I didn't come on the air last week, and I believe I came on the air. The last time I came on the air was the Tuesday before that massacre, that church massacre that happened in South Carolina, where those 9 people were shot to death in that Bible class. And so I was on the air the day before that. So today we're going to try to that substantiates a little more of what's really going on in the world, and how the devil is the prince of the power of the air. So in other words, he's an evil spirit, and he's working in the children of disobedience. And so it substantiates that we're in a spiritual warfare. That'll bring it on home to many people. But just a little recap here. So therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So he goes on here, husband loves your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And he goes on here to say that so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. So we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. So remember now what I made mention about God giving him the mystery. So he goes on, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and his wife, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So we know what happened, like since the last time we were on, they actually had a ruling at the Supreme Court. I mean, if you listen to me on a regular basis or pretty much here in the last few weeks, and I made mention about them having a discussion in the Supreme Court about same-sex marriage, which they shouldn't have been having that discussion. So it matters not to God what man rules. And so it was a very close 5-4. It could have went either way, but it doesn't matter. It substantiates the fact that we're in the last days, as it was in the days of Lot. They planted, they built, they sold, all the things that they were doing. They knew it not until the Lord sent down fire in Sodom and Gomorrah because he couldn't find 10 righteous people. So this thing that's going on is no new thing, and I mean it's against
nature, and that's why they are creating their own laws. And then a real preacher is not going to marry. I'm not. I can marry people. I'm not going to marry two men to each other. I'm not going to marry two women to each other. Matter of fact, you don't. Every couple that you counsel, you don't necessarily marry. So it's up to the preacher to decide who he's going to marry anyway. Sometimes some people will marry people that they know, people that they have. Like I said, they counsel people that they marry. So it's your choice to marry, to officiate over a wedding. And I'm not going to go against God, because you can't marry the same gender. So it matters not. God don't care nothing about what ban has passed and this kind of matter. This is a moral issue. People have rights as a human. Granted, you do. But that's against nature. It's against God. And a real preacher is not going to preside over anything like that. And as far as God is concerned, and too many people are not courageous, but I'm not scared. God, as far as God is concerned, they're not married. You cannot, I guess, what would they want to do next? Because, I mean, you can't marry, and as far as God is concerned, you can't marry the same gender. It's not so. So it's not just we. A lot of times we say, well, you can't procreate with the same sex. Truth. That's very true. But on the other hand, that's the highest degree or highest expression of love. Is two people, what makes two people one is your name and the sex act is what really makes you one. So that's what he says, well, God hath joined together, let no man put asunder, no man come between the two people. The two shall be one flesh. What makes you one flesh is the sex act. And so that's for pleasure, not for two men to be together working that which is unseemly, or two women be working together that which is unseemly. That stinks in the nostrils of God, and he's not going to change his mind. So this is what we say here in the word of the Lord. This is a great mystery, talking about, I speak concerning Christ and the church, that every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So he, and see, in the 19th chapter of Matthew, Jesus also talked about God. In the beginning, God made them male and female. He's talking about the man and the woman. This cause a man shall leave his father and mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So it doesn't matter. Matters not. Thank God for the four opposing justices that opposed it. So they had an uneven number on purpose. So just one can sway it. And so that's what happened. So, you know, we see the men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So it's all unrighteousness is sin. So the liars, the thieves, the murderers, all of it, fornicators, adulterers, whoremongers, is all in the same category. So your name not found written in the book of life, you're going to be cast into the lake which of fire, which burneth with lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And Jesus talked about hell more than he did heaven, and he said, where the worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched. So it's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So people want to do their own thing, go ahead. The wages of sin is death. Not talking about physical death. The physical death for the believer is sleep. Matter of fact, nobody goes straight to hell when they die if they're not saved, or nobody goes straight to heaven if they are saved. But you are in a state of unconsciousness. That's why it's going to be a resurrection. That's why he says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. They shall be, you know, reign with Christ 1,000 years, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years are fulfilled. This is the first resurrection. So that's the resurrection. When he comes back to rapture the church, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. He goes on to say, wherefore comfort one another with these words. First of Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, beginning at the 13th verse. So in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, he said, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And this corruption must put on incorruption. This mortal shall put on immortality. When this mortal hath put on immortality, this corruption shall have put on incorruption. Then the saying shall be brought to pass. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And this is in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter. So he's talking to believers. So today we're going to go on into the 6th chapter of Ephesians. So he says, he starts off, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thy honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And he goes on here, excuse me, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mightest live, thou mayest live long on the earth. So he's talking about the commandments that were given to Moses. So Jesus didn't come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill it. So he came that the righteousness, the law was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son for sin, and for sin, this is in the 8th chapter of Romans, and condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So he's talking to believers. He's talking to the church at Rome when he's talking about the righteousness of the law. That's Paul's masterpiece that he wrote to Romans when he talked about justification and glorification and predestination. That's his masterpiece. So he goes on here, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So that's a good, valid point. I had 5 sons. I have all adults now. And so sometimes they make you angry, especially teenagers. When you're dealing with teenagers, everybody is different. No 2 children are alike. And then sometimes you wonder, like, I thought to myself, one of my sons, why was I kind of hard in my own way? I knew, and God knew, but I wondered, why was I hard as I was in my own way? But it was good. It was God who knew the attitude that he had. But he's, no one never got any trouble and got a record or none of that kind of stuff. But they're all successful. But it just was during that time, an adolescent, teenagers, they think that they know everything, or they think that their parents are ignorant. But they soon find out that we've been there. We're trying to help you where we have already been. So you have to be careful that you don't provoke them to wrath. And so you don't want to drive them away from the truth. But surely my sons had more better teenage life and participated in a lot of activities and the like more than I did when I was growing up. So they definitely had a good childhood and teenagers. They were, you want them to do more than what you did and have better than what you did, and they definitely did the like, and we enjoyed the same, going to their games and the like. They played in band in high school, little league, softball. They played basketball. They did a lot of things. So it was a good experience. You're raising your children. So he goes on here, don't provoke them bring to wrath, or bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So in other words, they're looking at your Your children are looking at your example. So, you know, you have to eat humble pie, as we say. So the main thing was to do, try to do the right thing, be an example to them, and don't tell them, do as I say, but your example, they're doing, not you're not just saying what should be done, but you are actually doing it. Like someone said, they'd rather see a sermon than to hear one. Well, you got to hear. You can't hear without a preacher. You can't preach except you be sent. So you can't believe him whom you have not heard, and you can't hear except they be sent, and they got to preach the gospel. So as far as that part goes, but the point being, in other words, you want to be living what you're preaching, and so that's more important, and you can't argue with that. You can't argue with success. So he says, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as a men pleases, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So I can say that was, I worked at General Motors for 30 years, so pretty much was very pleasurable. You had arrogant supervisors and superintendents and all kinds. I mean, you dealt with all kinds of people, and then on the other hand, you had very pleasant leaders. We worked together, and whatever I'd done, I was the master at what I'd done. Worked in 5 different locations. Every time I transferred from one place to another, they hated to see me go because I did my job. I went to work. I worked every day. Like I used to say, I worked every day because when I needed a day off, there was no excuse. So just it's challenging. And sometimes you have coworkers that are try to provoke you. Just a lot of things you go through, but you have to take. You have to hold your peace. And you have to bite your tongue, as the old people would say, and even some of us, we would say, we were talking to each other, you know, yeah, you got to bite your tongue. So you do. So God knows what's going on. So you're not, and you're hated, and persecution and all, some things I took things that I would have never taken if I had not been a child of God. So he goes on here, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing services to the Lord and not to men. So that's what you're doing. You're doing everything to the best of your ability, and God is watching. So we know they tried to make us do things that we shouldn't do. So being in a giant industry like General Motors, we had a local agreement, which was rules, work rules, and all those kinds of things. And our national agreement was economics, you know, our pay and benefits and all that. So we had rules, and a lot of people don't know you're not, and it doesn't matter whether you were on the police force or you worked for a city or you were a teacher or whatever. And all of those that I just mentioned have unions, but the union, God was the first union. If you want to know that, with children of Israel were down in Egypt under hard taskmasters, God heard of their groanings and all, and he came down to deliver them. So it's, you're sitting down, you're negotiating for an agreement, and then what the union does every day, the company want to break the work rules because they are the ones that are paying you. They want to break the rules. You got to go by the contract. So you have rules that you have to go by. Same way it is in the church. So that's the problem nowadays too. Some too many people coming up things out of their own mind, like this sowing the seed stuff is nothing but a lie out of the pit of hell. You search it out. The seed is the word of God. You cannot buy a blessing. That is a lie out of hell, and the devil knows it. But people are greedy of filthy lucre, and people got people paying the pastor and do. I mean, it's ridiculous. Some of the things that people are doing, lying to people, if you do this, your bills will be paid. this, that, and the other, and so on and so forth, which is nothing but a bunch of lies. They're always coming up with another lie. But God just requires the tithe, which is the tenth, and a free will offering. As every man purpose in his heart to give, so let him give, not grudgingly, not of necessity. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, but God loveth a cheerful giver. So it's up to us. We can give a free will offering. Not they're lying to people, do this and do that, you're going to be blessed. No, that's stupid. So people are actually, they got people lying, talking about he gives seed to the sower. In the 55th chapter of Isaiah, he's not talking about money at all. But what he's talking about is the rain coming down, the snow, make the earth to bring forth and the bud. In the analogy, so shall my word go forth out of my mouth, it's going to prosper in the thing which I send it, and accomplish that which I please. So what he's talking about, he gives seed to the sower. He's talking about he's giving the farmer more seed to plant, more so you can have more wheat and bread. He's literally talking about food that he's giving seed to the sower, not money. So that's a lie, and people are just, you don't know better, you can't do better. When you know better, you will do better. You won't be bamboozled. You won't be hoodwinked. You won't be taken by these lies trying to get you to get off of that more money, because they want more, more, more money. So it's just sad. So that's the thing. The Bible, Paul talks about a bishop should be apt to teach, a lover of hospitality, not greedy of filthy lucre. Filthy lucre is money. It's all the time asking people to give, 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 give. So he says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. So that's the thing right there. If some people in companies, not a far cry from the size of General Motors or Ford Motor Company or any of those places, have given people astronomical profit sharing, because they actually shared in the profit that they made, and it was big money. So that's what you call, you can't lose. You can't beat God giving, and really when you realize the principle of it, is you're not going to take anything with you. So that's the good thing about Bill and Melinda, whatever his wife's name is, the Gates. They have a lot of foundations. They give away a lot of money. They're helping with the cause of human beings because they got the money, and so they can do something about it. Like in Ecclesiastes, money answereth all things. So it is important. We need money. And so you use it the right way and not trying to coerce people out of their money and or to fleece the sheep. You fleece the sheep, he's no good. But that's why Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The wolf see the hireling see the shepherd coming and fleeth because he is a hireling. And he don't care for the sheep, but the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's why he was saying that I'm the good shepherd, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. No man take my life. This is Jesus talking in the 10th chapter of St. John. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. You got to understand, I and my Father are one, he said. God is a omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, invisible God. He is a spirit. He is invisible. You can't see him. That's why he came into the world that he made as the man, Christ Jesus. And I got news for you. He didn't look like all these pictures that people are saying that he looked like. But Paul said, we don't know him after the flesh. No, we know him no more. But if any man be in the Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. So he had to become the Lamb to take away the sin of the world. He led captivity captive. He gave gifts unto men. He principalities and powers and all these, he triumphed over them. made a show of them openly in the book of Colossians, triumphing over them. And that means the spirit world. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise took part of the same, that he through death might take death out of the hands of him that had it, that is the devil. He didn't take on him the nature of angels, talking about Jesus, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. It behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, talking about the human family. He didn't take on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. This is in the book of Hebrews. So it's ridiculous for people don't know no better, talking about Jesus went down to hell and preached, took the keys from the devil. I mean, that don't even make sense, because the keys is the power of death and hell. So he got the victory over death and hell. That's why I quote that scripture that came from the Old Testament: "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law." That's what Paul was getting over to the Corinthians. "Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's why he said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So anyway, should you desire to call in, our call-in number is 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. And you are listening to Truth Ministry with your host, Elder Michael Cannon, the spokesman for the King of Glory. So in other words, this ninth verse in the book of Ephesians, the sixth chapter, when he was saying, "Ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening." So in other words, don't do that, because you got the power over somebody. Some people rule with an iron fist. So he says, forbearing, threatening. So in other words, don't do that, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there any respect of persons with him. So he goes on here. Here's what we want to get to realize that we're in a spiritual warfare. And so he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." This is our subject today. So this is what you must do. So, and how do you do that? So he's going to let us know how to do it. So how we do that? "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." So the devil is a master of deception. He's an artifice. He's a dirty crook. And I mean, just like that foolishness that happened, that man killed those nine people in South Carolina, that was rotten to the core, that was out of the pit of hell. Had those people had spiritual discernment, he wouldn't have stole them like that. So that's what Jesus said: "I chose 12 of you, and one of you is a devil." So we got to be sober, be vigilant. Peter says, "Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith." So what is he saying? He says, your adversary, the devil, he's no match for God, but he's a piece of trash. He's a master of deception. He will fool you. And it's, we got to be sober. We got to be vigilant. We got to watch and pray. I mean, I know people use a play on words, but just say it like it is. He said, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." So you got to watch yourself more than anything, but you got to watch, because there's only one sin sacrifice. There's only one lamb that came to give his life. So we don't need no crooks. And so, yeah, racism is a tool that the devil uses. It's out of the pit of hell. But the devil is a thief, and he comes for nothing but to steal, kill, and destroy. And the truth of the matter is, the devil is not prejudiced. He's a piece of trash. He hates every last one of us. And people, you don't get yourself ready in the church triumphant, in the Savior's bride, being baptized into the body. So repenting of your sins, being baptized in water in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and being filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance, just like they did at Pentecost. the fulfillment of Joel 2:28, God pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. You're going to miss the rapture of the church. If you haven't been born again with the new birth, then you're talking about something that's going to be horrible. When that devil's sitting in the temple of God showing himself that he is God, called the Antichrist, you're going to have to take the mark or give your head. If you want to be saved, you take the mark. You're going to worship the devil. You're not going to be able to buy or sell. It doesn't matter. He's not going to care about no billionaire, no millionaire, or no poor. It doesn't matter. Everybody is going to be the same to him. You're going to do what he says or give your head. So if you take the mark, then you sow your soul to the devil. You're going to be lost forever. So the thing is, you want to make the rapture of the church. So, you know, this is not God. God's not the author of confusion. This is what Apostle Paul is writing to the church in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. And so he's not the author of confusion. So the devil is the author of confusion. These jellyback preachers are scared to tell people. Ain't no whole bunch of different denominations and all that. The devil, a man came up with that lie, especially after Constantine had that revelation in 320 A.D. That's where the so-called Trinity, which is a lie out of the pit of hell. God has never been no Trinity. Ain't no Holy Trinity. That's an unholy lie is what that is, because God is one. He did everything by himself. Read in the book of Isaiah. So God stretched out the north, Job said. Job 26 and verse 7, I believe it is. He stretched out the north over the empty place. Which way is the north? And he hangeth the earth upon nothing. Psalms, it was revealed to Moses. In the 90th Psalms, he says, Lord, you've been our resting place throughout all generations. He said, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So you got to believe the first words that nobody was back there in the beginning. It was revealed unto Moses, that divine testimony. In the beginning, God, them four words. He always was. He's the omnipresent spirit. He's in the invisible God. He's a self-existing one. He created time for us to get ourselves together so we can go back into eternity with him, because there's going to be a time when there's going to be time no longer, in the 10th chapter of the book of the Revelation. So he's not playing. The devil ain't playing. He knows that he has a short time. So we got to watch. We got to pray. So you can't steal a man's goods. And this is what Jesus was talking about during the gospel of the kingdom. They were still under the law doing his earthly ministry as the writers, the gospel writers. Only one gospel, four gospel writers, as we say, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the gospel of the kingdom. And he was saying, you can't spoil a man's goods, lest you bind a strong man of his house, and then you can spoil his house. So just like me in my house, you got to come in here and get me, bind me before you take what you want. But you're subject to me. When you come through that door, you are subject to me. And I'm not going to lay down and let a devil destroy me, not by God's good grace. So, I mean, we have laws. We have castle laws. There are all kinds of laws. That's a law, not this foolishness they came up with, where another man can be doing that which is unseemly with another man. That's ridiculous. Or another two women sniffing on each other or whatever. That's ridiculous. There are laws that God has put in place for us to protect ourselves. Not only just to protect ourselves, knowing that the devil, excuse me, is a master of deception. But you're not just protecting yourself from devils and all those kinds of things. During the tribulation period, there are going to be beasts actually on the loose. When all these earthquakes and everything, even now, I'm not going to let a dog get me. Like one guy was joking around with me some years ago, back in the 90s, when I was working at General Motors, and he knew I was a jogger. So he was saying he was going to sick his dog on me. He was just kidding around with me. And so I went on with it. So I said, okay, Well, I got something for him, is what I said. So you want to sick your beast on me, your dog? Then I got something for him. And so they knew that I was in church, I was a minister, so they were waiting to see my response. What I would say, what I would answer to him for saying that when I said I got something for him. What you got for him? So I said a bat or a shovel or anything I can get my hands on. I guess they thought I was going to say, they probably did think I was going to say I would shoot him. But I got that too, because I small game hunted before. So, I mean, there's things that we, just because I'm a minister, don't mean that other things that I've done and can do and still can do. So thank God for it. So just like Peter now, they were fishermen. They also had weapons. That's why Peter cut that man's ear off, because he had a sword. So he was saying, put it up. So in other words, wasn't time for that. So anyway, so we go on here. He goes on to let us know we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So that is so imperative. That is so paramount to realize that we're in a spiritual battle. We're in the, like someone said, one lady evangelist that we all came out of the same church, she used to say, if we could just see around us. So in the spiritual world, it is nasty. And see, that's the thing, people, we can't all sin, all like I made mention earlier, all unrighteousness is sin. So that's nasty. The things that people are doing in the sex acts with each other, that's nasty. Every other kind of foul spirit you could think of, nobody in their right mind want to be in the lake of fire. You're going to be with every kind of nasty spirit you could think of. Do you want to? Y'all going to be together? I don't think nobody in their right mind want to be in a place like that. So we're fighting a spiritual warfare, and the enemy is the devil, and he hates every last one of us, and he's not prejudiced. So get that. So we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So it's a spiritual warfare, but he says, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So you could take it literal. You could take it in the spiritual world also. Spiritual wickedness is in the atmosphere, because you know a third of the heavenly the angels fell with Lucifer when he fell. The ones that those fallen spirits with him are out there with him. So they, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that worketh now in the children of disobedience. I believe we made mention of that in our previous lessons. So, and like I made a quote, I said it, I'll say it before. If the devil get your mind, he will possess you and you'll do what he says. So that's all he wants, is your mind. Little boy want little girl's mind, and she'll do whatever he says, and vice versa. Because there's people try to be slick, hustling people out of money and all that, and they think people, I mean, some things that people do, you know, people think that people are not on to their game that they're doing, their manipulative ways that they have. But that's why Jesus told us to be wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. So we got to be wise. So he goes on here, wherefore take unto you. So we're talking about spiritual wickedness in high places, and also not just, that's what I was going to say. Like, so in the atmosphere, you got all of these spirits, all this wickedness that's working. The devil is walking about, seeking whom he may devour. He's the prince of the power of the air. He is the instigator of a lot of things. He is the thief that come to steal, to kill, and destroy. And not only that, people in high places also, like the Supreme Court, that's a high place. That's the highest court of the land. So sometimes people who are scared to say God, or they're scared to say Jesus or the Lord Jesus Christ, they will say the Supreme Being. But yeah, he's He is over everyone because this is his world. That's why David said, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. The powers that be are ordained of God. So he's letting people do what they want because their hearts, you know, they, just like Jesus made mention in the third chapter of St. John, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Everyone that cometh to the light hated, you know, so in other words, the evil people hate the light because their deeds, lest their deeds should be reproved. So in other words, what makes manifest is light. So when the light shines, it's going to expose you of who you really are. So I thank God for that. That's not a secret. The Supreme Court thing and the way each justice voted, it's not a secret, and they voted the way they did, and you can read that, why they came up with the decision that they did. So you take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. So in other words, you're fighting. So we're going to go on here. We're going to see what you need as a believer to fight after you've been born again, as I've aforementioned. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And this is what I'm endeavoring to do every time I'm on the air, truth. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. So they buried the truth. They tried to shut the truth up, but the truth couldn't stay in the ground, but the truth got up, and the truth lives, and the truth is marching. As they say, truth is marching, on, because you can't kill the truth, because the truth is going to prevail. So, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith. So that's like warfare we're in. So you're taking the shield of faith. So what you're going to do with that, you're going to, the devil, the enemy, him and his imps, they're throwing fiery darts. So literally in warfare, they threw fiery darts. You don't get hit with a fiery dart. So you got a shield, you're able to fight off the fiery darts. That's better than a bulletproof vest. Because if you see the fiery darts coming, literally, you can put it up, or you can put your head down under it. You can shield yourself with that shield and quench all those fiery darts. You would be okay as long as they didn't come behind you. See, God designed this warfare that we're in. We're going first. You know, we're going on the offense. So in other words, all of our armor is in front of us. We have nothing behind us because we're fighting face, head on, front up, as my one son used to say. If you back the car into the driveway, he called that front up. So we're facing the devil front up. So we're facing him head on, as we would say. So he goes on here, taking the your feet shot. The breastplate of righteousness. So in other words, you're fighting off them shield, those fiery darts. So he goes there, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And he goes on here, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So that's so notice now the order. So the last one he's saying take is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So you're taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You're actually going on the devil's territory with that sword. So it's sad when God opens doors for men to preach. There's only one gospel to people, and they let him down because they melt down. They won't do it. There's only one gospel, and why can't you deal with that gospel? So they didn't preach Jesus out of the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the apostles, like we do. They preached him out of the law of Moses. They preached him out of the prophets. They preached Jesus out of the Psalms. This is why he was saying, all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. You can read that in Luke, the 24th chapter. He opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And it said, "Does it behoove Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations beginning at Jerusalem?" I'm talking about the gospel of Christ. That's what a will. A will, a testament, is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, is of no more force. Jesus made sure that we got the New Testament. We got the New Covenant because he rose from the dead and bought it back himself. So he is the first fruits of them that slept. Afterwards, them who are Christ at his coming. So this is what Paul was writing in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. He was talking about. So he arose from the dead to die no more. He's up, rose from the dead to die no more, and he got the victory. And so he's the first fruits of them that slept. So we're going to do just like he did. He got the victory. And so we have the victory also. So as we go on here, so he says, so we're on the enemy's territory, actually, with our sword. So remember, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, Hebrew writer says, "For the word of God is quick." That word "quick" means it's living. It's alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder to the dividing of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts, talking about the word of God, and intents of the heart. And the Hebrew writer goes on to say, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in this sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." So in other words, God and his word are synonymous. God and his word are one. They're self, the self-same thing, his word. He magnifies, the writer says, "Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." So that's his integrity. His word that goeth forth out of his mouth is not going to return void, Isaiah said. And that scripture that they try to use, they're talking about money when it's literally talking about a farmer and about food and about snow and rain coming from heaven. So he says, "So shall my word go forth out of my mouth, not return unto me void. It's going to accomplish the thing I sent it and prosper in that which I please." So in other words, his name is above every name, and his word is magnified above, exalted above all his name. So his integrity is in what he says. He's purposed it. He's going to do it. He spoke it. He's going to bring it to pass. That's why Abraham didn't stagger at the promises of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, knowing what he promised, he was able to bring to pass. So he says, that's why Jesus himself says, "Not one jot or what tittle shall fall till all be fulfilled." So the Hebrew writer says, when he swear by no greater, he swear by himself. In the 6th chapter of Hebrews, talking about God, "It was impossible for God to lie that we might have a strong consolation." So he swear by himself. He swore alone. He swore to himself. Nobody can stop him. He told you he's going to do something. He's going to do it. Because he is God. He can't lie. So the last part of the warfare that we have here is praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So supplicate means to plead, to beg. So we beseeching God. We're praying all the time. Just because I'm doing this broadcast, I'm praying right now. I'm rebuking devils right now. I'm cursing devils in the name of Jesus right now in my spirit. And you can only do this if you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. It's impossible. You can't do it. You can't fight spiritual warfare without the Spirit. That's ridiculous. I mean, that's why it's so foolish. People are trying to high jump out of the Gospels and land in the Book of Romans. You can't do that. And you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart. He's talking to people that's already saved. And so that's why in Romans 11:29 says, "For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance." So people pick that up, they misquote it, they do violence to the scriptures when they say gifts and callings come without repentance, which is foolishness, because you did violence to the scripture, because you're not given the sense of the word, because you go up and in previous verses, subsequent verses, he's talking about Israel, he's talking about the foreknowledge of God. God called Israel, God gave Israel the word of God. He gave Israel his word, and they were the chosen people. He gave them the oracles of God. That's what I'm looking for, the word. He gave Israel the oracles. He chose them. They were his chosen people. Paul was saying was he's not going to change his mind. So he says, "For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance." So the word repent means to change, have a change of heart or change of mind. And God called Israel. He gave them the oracles of God, and he's not going to change his mind, because you read in the Old Testament, there were plagues, there were different things that God was going to do to the his people, and he changed his mind in doing some of those things at different times. So he goes on here, "As for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Remember I told you he gave Paul the mystery, "which I am ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Titius, a beloved brethren and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for my same purpose, that you might know our affairs, that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you all. Grace be with all of them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen." That is the end of our lesson to the church at Ephesus, or to St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. So we thank God for your participation in this lesson that we've been on for a number of weeks. And so we just thank you so much for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And my question to you is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Remember now, think on it. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?